All right, we are in Mesh World, I guess, again, in this really cool part of the campus. Who are you? What are you?
My name is Newton Sanchez. I've been with Mesh for the past 2 years about, and I own testing for our client platform and client synchronization components.
Excellent. So performance, reliability, etc.
Everything from does it work? do my files get there? To how fast they get there, and to what means they get there.
Cool. So we've spent a fair amount of time already on Channel 9 over the past 6 months or so talking about Live Mesh from the cloud perspective, right? Mm-hmm. So here's my data. Take care of it. Basically, you have the cloud handling sync, the cloud handling storage, everything.
Mm-hmm.
And in the case of Mesh, you're synchronizing my devices from data that's in the cloud.
Mm-hmm.
What about the peer-to-peer case, and how does that work?
For us, the peer-to-peer is an optimization and a performance thing.
Mm-hmm.
So while from a programming model, you're going to program against the cloud or against one device at a time,
mm-hmm.
you want, if you're uploading large chunks of data, you want the data to get through your mesh, all the devices that are in your mesh, in your friends' meshes,
mm-hmm.
You want them to get there fast.
Yes.
And you want them to get them cheaply. So you may not want to go to the cloud and go fetch that data every time from that central point. We don't want that from a cost perspective for Microsoft,
mm-hmm.
and people don't want that because they have multiple machines sitting at their homes,
mm-hmm.
Connected by a very good LAN. If they copy those files locally, they get a better experience. They get the replication much faster.
Sure. True. So that brings up a good point,
mm-hmm.
though. I mean, somebody has to say, don't store the data in the cloud. Keep the cloud out of the picture except for setting your meta files or whatever you're doing. And just use my... So if I have 10 machines at home,
mm-hmm.
right, there has to be some way for me to say, I don't want this data going to the Microsoft cloud at all.
Mm-hmm.
Here's 10 devices in my house. Just sync it.
Let's take two examples.
Yeah.
You're doing sensitive files or taxes files. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You want them to be on all your machines, but not of Microsoft business.
Okay.
Right? In that case, you can go explicitly to our live folder management application, or programmatically you can do that as well and say, mm-hmm. hey, don't sync this to the cloud.
Okay.
And in that case, we only copy the files locally, and you can predict that all that copy is happening peer-to-peer. There's no cloud involved in that process. But even if you're like sharing your pictures where you want them to be saved online for viewing by somebody else,
mm-hmm.
and you want them to be saved on your devices, we may use P2P as a mechanism to copy from one device to another, just because it's cheaper on us and it's a faster experience for you.
Excellent.
And actually, we do prefer that route. We use in that case, we use cloud as a backup plan.
Mm.
If we don't have the copy available, if the machine that used to have the copy is offline or doesn't have the latest copy of it.
So how does the, you know, just refresh my memory? I mean, how does this peer-to-peer mechanism actually work in the sense that you're going to require components installed on the clients?
Yes.
Some way they have to communicate, add nodes to this map?
Mm-hmm. That requires you to have the Live Mesh client installed in your machine, which if you ever went to the Live Mesh webpage, you have this big device ring where you can add new devices.
Sure.
All devices you put there will be peers in this replication mechanism.
Okay.
And also, if your friends join your live, if you invite other people to your live folder, their devices will be allowed to sync with yours, only for the things that you share with them, not for anything else.
Okay. Excellent. So what are some of the complexities that you guys ran into pulling this off, given how...
Well, I'm going to speak from a test perspective now. So basically, you have all these devices that have to be federating this mesh belonging to multiple users. So we already have, in our test benches, we have multiple users, multiple devices per user, and then multiple live folders that are shared in different ways,
mm-hmm.
and then multiple files and folders within those live folders. So all that gives us the dimension of how many things we have to manage to be able to test this thing end to end. And we're interested in things like, first and foremost, are all files in sync? Do they get there? Second, do they catch every single update? So we have routines that go and create files, modify files, even simulate scenarios, or say that you and a friend are collaborating on a document.
Mm-hmm.
We edit the document simultaneously from two different from the context of two different machines, and allow them to synchronize, so that Mesh has to keep track of, hey, there are two versions here, they need to be reconciled. and we keep track of all the work to make sure that we're not losing people's data when they do simultaneous edits.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So where is this keeping track of happening? So
we have a test infrastructure which is a controller agent model where we have test programs running on multiple devices that are simulating users, and we have a master controller that knows about all these test components and is doling out tasks. Hey, you go write a file. Hey, you go delete one. Hey, you guys go write at the same time so we can create a conflict. And they take clear notes of what they're doing so we can then reconcile that with product logs to figure out if the sequence of events as performed by the product corresponds to the sequence of events as performed by the test code.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how we try to simulate the whole mesh. And on top of that, we also have to think about, hey, the cloud is always available, kind of. Microsoft has a good reliability record on maintaining cloud services.
Mm-hmm.
But devices, you take a device home, you close your laptop, it goes into hibernation. Devices go up and down. So we have also to simulate that. So besides writing files and deleting files, we also take devices offline, bring them online. We remove them from the mesh and add them back in.
Mm-hmm.
So we all go through all these scenarios where people go into their real lives. Of course, we do that in a much more compressed time frame.
Mm-hmm.
Our test runs typically run about 12 hours of us intensively changing files in a pace that is kind of
unrealistic
from a human point of view, but we compress that down so we can get continuous results.
Sure.
And by doing that within 12 hours, and we have two shifts, one running in Redmond, one running in Asia,
mm-hmm.
we get actually two runs a day at least.
Mm-hmm.
So we are able to get continuous improvement by running time over time
mm-hmm.
and comparing results every day.
Cool. So how is this going to scale? I mean, when you think about, you know, peer-to-peer isn't necessarily rocket science if you have a manageable number
mm-hmm.
of nodes. But what we're thinking of in terms of the future and while we're doing all this stuff is we expect people to have several different devices.
Mm-hmm.
And then you add that to devices that of their friends that are shared with their mesh.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to be sort of a really complicated problem. And how is it getting better from when you guys first released Live Mesh to now? So it's two questions in one,
mm-hmm.
not necessarily related.
Yes, we started with like two devices. And with two devices, already got plenty of problems. Then we increased to three devices, four devices. Now, in our biggest runs, we run with 10, 12 devices
mm-hmm.
and at the same time. Also, another thing we do is we fiddle with the device configurations so that even while we're running with 12 devices, they're undergoing the same level of churn that they would if they were running on a 50-device mesh. So mm-hmm. we kind of try to scale that down. We produce a scaled-down version of a 50-device mesh.
Okay.
And why we go for a 50-device? Because that's actually our product. Our product engineering team uses Live Mesh to manage its own documents.
Interesting.
So, and we have, at any one time, about 50 devices live. So we use that as a benchmark, and we scale that down to see if we have comparable experiences.
Excellent. So how's it doing? How's it scaling?
Well,
what are the numbers?
The scalability is going very well. What happened in this latest release of Mesh is that with all the improvements on P2P, we had to pay a lot of attention on correctness.
Mm.
Does a P2P negotiation happen? There's a lot of security involved.
Mm.
There's a lot of factors that enable you to connect. We don't want people to collect willy-nilly.
Mm-hmm.
So to get that right took a long time. So if you look at our from a product development, our reliability went down significantly as we were in the beginning of the development phase. And then we had to work a lot to bring it back to first parity with what we had before,
mm-hmm.
and then far surpassing what we had before, both from a reliability point of view and also from a performance point of view.
Excellent. Very cool. So what are some of the challenges for you going forward?
Growing the mesh beyond the 50 range is one of the biggest challenges.
Mm-hmm.
We only have so much budget for labs where we can get 10, 20, 40 machines, right?
Mm-hmm.
As you go to larger sizes, you're going to have to cope with that. So we're trying to leverage our dog food investments. So we will put test agents running on people's machines and try to synchronize among themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, I'm going to take all of the engineering community and install some test program there that
Good.
Does some test activity so we can simulate those larger meshes, trying to not disrupt the people that have landed their CPU time, but still reporting back to home base so we can get some logs about what's going, how this product's performing, when it's hitting issues and when it's not.
So you guys are doing sort of intelligent use of CPUs today. I mean, you're running in the background on these devices. So clearly if someone's actually using the machine in the foreground to protect it from the work you're doing, that's another complexity added to your mesh because you'll have to pare down communication over peer-to-peer if someone's actually doing something on their machine. But I guess the question I would ask is, like, are you, you know, what about when we have processors that have 28 to 180 cores on them? You're going to be able to, you could actually leverage that and be still not necessarily be in the background, right? You could just eat a couple cores. So my question is, are you thinking about the future hardware as you plan out your product roadmap and your testing? Of course you are, but I just wanted to ask you.
From a long-term roadmap, we're looking into that. Shorter term, we're still dealing with issues. Performance, CPU utilization is not is something we have a lot to improve on still. Right, being a background job, you want that CPU to be as silent as possible if you're not doing anything to the machine. Right, so we have a lot to improve there. We are kind of innovating, being one of the few machine services that is running with .NET. So there's a lot of learnings that have to happen to make this client service run smoothly in .NET and be performant. And we're kind of taking those one at a time. Performance has improved a lot already, but still a lot to go. Then the matter of CPU time is not very important. Once you're past that point, we don't think we should be in a mode where we're going to be spending a whole lot of CPU just to replicate files.
Sure.
For replicating files, we expect to be bottlenecked on your network, on your disk for reading and writing files, to depending on where they need to go. But we don't want to be in the business of taking a lot of CPU time from you. Right? Again, we are data replication. Data replication is based on network bandwidth and disk bandwidth. Shouldn't be a CPU thing. We're trying to get ourselves to a demo. And of course, as the number of cores increase, we will be more able to do that without impacting your performance too much on the other applications.
Sure.
One thing that we do today already is we run at a lower priority than everything else in your OS, so that if your OS has to do anything else, that will take priority over us. And in Vista, we use boxing APIs so that even our disk I/O runs at a lower priority than anything else you're doing. So if Word has to save a document, that's going to take precedence over us replicating some file in and out of your device.
Yeah, excellent. And of course, you manage all the synchronization. That to me is what seems really complicated, is managing synchronization over a peer-to-peer network. Because as you said, a device could, what if a device goes off while it's in the middle of you know, acting as a node to get, you know, some chunk of data out to somewhere, and then it just all of a sudden goes off, and that chunk of data is going to have to then come from a different node.
Yes.
Right.
If the mesh is well established and several devices have copies, which is a typical case for other replication softwares, that many people have copies of the same content. Let's say is a album, a picture album.
Sure.
And everybody has copies already. In that case, if your device goes down, it's very easy for us to find a backup. Right? The real challenge we have is when you just make an edit to a Word document, and then you made the edit the last minute before going to an airplane. Now, only your device has that.
Sure.
So all the devices have to have a lot of logic to say, hey, that guy went offline. He's been offline for a long time. So I'm not going to pester him too much. I'm going to allow some time. And the first opportunity when it comes back online, I may want to connect. But then you want to also paste that so that, let's say, you're sharing that file with 50 other people. They all 50 don't jump you at the same time the moment you hop off the airplane.
Yes.
Right? So we also have a lot of timing, a lot of fuzzing in our timing and our back-off strategies so that when you hop off that plane, some device will hit you the first hour, some device will hit you the next hour, so we can spread that load over time.
Excellent. Very cool. So, developer perspective, you know, I want to be able to leverage P2P that you guys are providing for me, because again, it could save bandwidth, or I want to make as many network calls, whatever. How do I program again? Is it a different programming model, or does the live framework sort of make that sort of transparent to me?
At the time being, we are. That's exactly the same programming model. The only thing you can do is say, hey, I want a copy of this data in the cloud, mm-hmm. or I don't want a copy of this data in the cloud. If you don't want a copy in the cloud, then you're sure to get P2P.
Sure, well.
If you get a copy in the cloud, you may get P2P, you may get cloud access. Okay. It will be based on our optimization and our performance algorithms.
Excellent. I mean, that's a very important point.
I believe that at the time, that's the only control you have over this data. One other thing to notice that we only do this for large chunks of data, for instance, for pictures, the name of your picture, the mine type of your picture, like metadata about it, is kept in the cloud at all times. But the contents of that picture, if you say so, will only be kept in your own devices and the ones you trust.
Cool. So, I mean, in essence, then, of course, that makes sense because you are using the cloud and the metadata in the cloud to help you with sync.
Yes, that's what tells us where the file may be.
FeedSync requires that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Interesting. That's the core FeedSync.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. Well, thank you for your time, man. I think, you know, the question was simple about P2P, the state of P2P and live mesh. You see a lot of people, again, the transparency of it in the sense that P2P is probably happening whether you realize it or not based on performance and the metrics. But you can also specify, always want device-to-device communication, not device-to-cloud-to-device. Perfect.
Yeah. We'll give you flexibility when we can. Mm-hmm. We give you control when you need it.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for your time, man.
Thank you.